Podtecular episode 283, Halo 4 and MLG for April 19th, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and this week we are talking about Halo 4 multiplayer in MLG. And to help me move things along is George, aka Naked Eli, from What's Naked up? Halo on YouTube. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks for having me.
Very nice. We have James Bristow, or Jackfire Dragon, from Cyberline Films.
Hey. Thanks for making me stay up like dust.
No. I'm clarifying this. I offered to have you on, and you said you might or might not be on, depending on whether you were still awake or not.
Guilt tripping you into coming on.
No. There was no guilt tripping whatsoever.
Okay, dust.
That's an outright lie, sir.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, and then we have a very special guest, someone that I met at PAX East. And he is also a commentator for MLG, and he is Andy, a.k.a. Bravo.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. We are excited to have you on the show.
Awesome. I am pumped to be here. I'm really fortunate that we ran into each other literally at PAX, and that we got to play some anniversary, and you fixed our TVs at the gunner booth so people could actually play without 65 milliseconds of lag. I am super pumped to be on the show.
Yay. Yeah, those TVs are notorious.
So remind me, how did that 1v1 turn out again?
He got 14, I got 2.
I don't even know how you got those 2.
I was just happy I got a kill.
Oh, smack talk begins.
I was just happy I got 1 kill.
Yeah, I felt bad.
What, felt bad that you destroyed me so badly? Or felt bad that you let me get 2 kills?
I don't know, I'll let you figure it out.
Great. Just belittle me even more.
No, I'm just kidding. They were good. They were good games. I played way too much Anniversary.
Yeah. Well, Anniversary is fun. I mean, it was. I think it was a good move for 343 to go in and bring some of those old maps back.
Yeah, definitely. I think they showed like real dedication to the core of Halo with that. I think I didn't actually hear any complaints with the exception of like prisoner spawns and latency on Hang 'em High. I think that it's like perfect.
Well, the thing with the prisoner spawns is whenever you're doing classic, they're doing the classic spawns, right? And whenever you're doing one of the newer game types, didn't they fix the spawns?
I haven't played too much like Solitary. But now that you say that, I think that overall the spawns on Solitary are a little bit less crazy than on Prisoner. But I think also there was a little bit of I think it was screen lag for MLG, which is why they couldn't use Prisoner, which is kind of upsetting. I'm not sure exactly what causes that, but I love all of the maps, but I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah. So I guess just quickly, what did you think of the choices of the maps? Were there any other ones that you thought might have or should have been in over some of the ones that we got, or
Anniversary wise?
Yeah.
I think, well, as we were talking about a little bit before the show, I'm a huge Chill Out fan. I just love that map since the beginning, since I started playing around 2002. I'd love to see that in an anniversary. I know it didn't work. Cold Storage, the remake, obviously was left a lot to be desired in Halo 3, but I think the map might work very well for the pace and timing of Halo Anniversary, kind of how the game plays out in Reach with the title update, No Bloom. I think it could play really well. So that's definitely one map that I would have loved to have seen and very curious. I actually played a bunch of Forge remakes on that, which obviously is nothing close to an actual remake, but
no.
That's one that I would love to see.
Yeah. I mean, Forge remakes are good. I mean, I want to say the Pit has probably been one of the best remakes in Forge.
Yeah, Salat's Pit is very, very good. Been playing a lot on that. It's almost, I mean, exactly to scale. That must have taken so much time. It's really well done.
Yeah. Well, it was nice that for the Pit, you're dealing with solid geometries and nothing that's
right.
Really, the terrain is flat and square. So I think that was one of the things that made rebuilding that so easy.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then unfortunately, it was so pretty in Halo 3 with the yellow pads and everything. But
yeah.
It still plays really well as far as gameplay goes.
We just need some different texture palettes.
Yeah, definitely.
Enough gray, because we have gray with Sanctuary. We have gray with Pit.
Yeah, exactly.
At least with Zealot, we have a little bit of purple.
Yeah, and actually now I just did a did an Onslaught video on YouTube, but I want to test a lot more of Powerhouse for MLG. I think Powerhouse is a really good map, and it was kind of overlooked because it was a beta map, and I think people didn't really give it a chance, you know? Visually, the map is very good looking, and I think it might play very well. Who knows if for MLG they might want to block off a few doorways or something, or just change a few routes, but I think that Powerhouse King of the Hill could be a really cool game type, because what I really want to get towards is out-of-the-box maps, barely any changes made, and then their MLG, you know, talking about Halo 2, Halo 3, that's how it was. So if we can get closer to that for Halo 4, that'd be awesome.
Right. Powerhouse seemed to be one of those maps where it was very popular in the beta. Granted, it was one of the only maps in the beta. But after Halo Reach actually came out, it just kind of took a downfall in popularity.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a great map in the beta, and it just overall... it definitely slowed down. I still think it's a fun map to play. However, you always get ridiculously wacky game types on it. You know, sometimes Headhunter, Team Snipers is kind of fun on, but that gets really chaotic. But definitely I'd like to give it a try in MLG, because also, like with my own videos, I'm sure George feels the same way. Like, you know, when we're making videos, we want people to see maps they recognize and they love, you know? I don't want to make videos about maps that only a certain part of the population plays, and that's kind of how it is right now. So I love, if everyone's on the same map, then everyone knows what's going on. For example, like if I'm watching a Call of Duty stream, and I recognize that map, I'm probably going to keep watching. Or if I'm in a tournament and I'm walking by a Call of Duty station and I've played that map 5 times. I know why he's throwing that grenade. That's cool. You know, a Halo player walks by, maybe a Forge remake. They don't recognize everything right away. And that's pretty much it. So we want to just really get the communities to, you know, obviously everyone respects each other, and there's been bickering back and forth, Waypoint forums, MLG forums, but everyone's like kind of getting along at the Halo 4, so I think we might have a really good balance, and 343 is already talking about competitive out-of-the-box maps, so really excited about that too.
Right.
Yep, so, I agree completely. I mean, just to go along with that, I think part of the reason that Powerhouse is special in people's hearts who like Reach is because it was one of those first maps that they played. But I think part of the issue with it is some bad spawning. Like if you are, let's say, above GL and their entire team spawns at the back rocks, right? Then you suddenly think you have a power position, and it turns out that you're getting flanked by 4 members of the enemy team that you just obliterated. You know, that's not very fun, and I think that's an example of a poor spawning mechanic. So if MLG could fix small issues like that that have a very large impact on the feel of the gameplay, I think you're going to start to see the popularity for Powerhouse rise. Of course, it'll be met with some resistance for players who don't like asymmetrical maps in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a huge map of symmetrical, competitive, arena-type maps, but a lot of people who don't like MLG as much or don't like that type of gameplay might be more interested in these more asymmetrical King of the Hill experiences.
Yeah, definitely. I think also, like, Powerhouse is so different from any map in Halo, and I might even say in multiplayer FPSs. Like, just the various rooms it has, the routes you can take. Think about, like, the bathroom, the whole dish area, all the way over to just the Powerhouse itself, the actual building and, like, the waterfall area where rockets spawn. Like, that map is structurally so different from anything, and it might just play really well.
It definitely has a good mix of close quarters combat as well as just complete open space DMR battles. Like you said, there's spaces where you are completely out in the open and you can see across the entire terrain, but there are also spaces where you're engaged in a one-room fight or a two-room fight, which is also very exciting to switch up the pace of the gameplay during the course of one game.
Right. And I'd say, lastly, on Powerhouse, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but overall, height control is still really rewarded. If you think about the entrances of the Powerhouse, that top ramp, all the way down to where you started to talk about, to the bathroom, which does have that little bit of slight choke point where you can kind of get top control really easily, you're still rewarded for top control. And if you can control that top Powerhouse area, and obviously on King of the Hill, different parts of the map, I think it still rewards top control, which is a very important aspect of competitive maps. So I think...
for sure.
I think we've said it enough. It's definitely worthy of trying it out.
Yeah. So maybe you can give us some light into how maps are chosen. So, like, how were the maps for Reach chosen when Reach was brought onto the circuit?
Oh, for specifically for, like, MLG tournaments?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know all of the details. I don't think any pro players really do. MLG does a lot of internal stuff, but that's not to say that they don't consult pro players and personalities on the game types. Pro players are encouraged to test the maps and give feedback through their, like, exclusive pro player forums. MLG says MLG gives them usually a batch of maps and says, give us your feedback on these game types, these settings, what needs to be changed, and all that. And a lot of pros do, and unfortunately, a lot of pros don't. Halo pros are actually all pro gamers are notorious for being lazy. They want to play their game, they want to make money, and that's all they want to do. So unfortunately, the maps don't get tested as much as we'd really like to see. So say a map set comes out and a game type set, and only 32 of the 64 pro players play it, and there's feedback, and then that's what they're chosen off of. So it's a lot of pro MLG kind of has competitive game testers in their offices that set some borderline ideas, and MLG is responsible the ability of the pro players and the community to try them. And I think overall there could be a lot more involvement in that. And that also goes back to, if these maps are out of the box maps, then people who are, you know, semi-casual can hop on and say, oh, this is kind of fun because I recognize this map. Whereas if they're looking at these gray maps, which has been said so much these past months, but it's very true, if they're looking at these Forge World maps, they're probably not going to want to give it a go because they don't know the routes and the starting grenades and the choke points and the weapon spawns. It's all foreign, and what they want is a familiar Halo experience.
Right. All right.
Explains a bit, because I was wondering how pennants slip through the net, because, you know, every single pro team just seems to be vetoing pennants on every single time. Mm-hmm. And I understand how pennants could be selected, but every pro team seemed to hate it.
Yeah, to be honest, I was a supporter of it at first, just because I guess the nostalgia got the best of me and I wanted to see it in. I think it stayed because competitively, it's very sound. So first, you have a few qualities about the map that make it suitable for a tournament. Obviously, it's not gray, so it is almost an out-of-the-box map, just like the Damnation Anniversary remake. So it's very visually, aesthetically pleasing map. And then also, competitively, top control is so much rewarded. If you're controlling top green, top camo, top bridge, and there's only a few choke points, like, for example, they did add lift on bottom blue, and they did add the lift on the shotgun area, to lifting you to top shoddy. So there's new choke points, new ways to get top control, but overall, it's very competitive in that it's hard. Like, you're very penalized for mistakes. Like, if you rush alone and you die, and your teammates do that four times, then you're down by four, and you're on the bottom of the map. So I'd say competitively, that's great. However, Halo and all other first-person shooters that are competitive need to be a spectator game. So I think for those reasons, it slipped through, and they didn't realize just how slow it would play out. You know, games ending like 16 to 14 and stuff. I don't think they foresaw that until the Red Bull LAN, which is when it started happening. That's a weekend before, so it's obviously too late to do anything like that.
I mean, to be honest, I had a look at the map, and I mean, obviously I know that Slayer was chosen, and Oddball isn't a favorite, but I thought Oddball on that map might actually work. I know they don't really like Oddball in MLG anymore because it can be a bit boring to watch, but I thought it could work on that map. It seemed like the kind of thing.
Well, I think because it's so asymmetrical that it might even be worse than Team Slayer, because with the new choke points, maybe, like, for example, those lifts I just talked about, that might help out. But if you picture someone, I imagine the ball would be held somewhere back green because it's impossible to get to. So all that back green guy has to do is watch that ramp. So sniper ramp to sniper room, he just probably sits there and watches that and drops and shoots and backs down when he needs to. So it'd be so, so difficult to maintain that control. And you could always, like, toss the ball down to bottom rockets if you're under pressure. So I think Oddball just would be way too one-sided.
Okay.
Alrighty.
What about, just to bring up an alternate, King of the Hill, do you think that could work on Pennants?
King on Pennants could definitely work, because you have presumably, like, a bottom red hill, maybe a sniper room hill. I actually don't remember what the hills were. What are the basic hills? Do you know, George, or any of you guys?
I don't actually.
Yeah, what the standard hills are if you just throw out of the box.
There's one on the bridge. Okay, yeah.
There's one where camo spawns, I'm pretty sure.
Is that the same as bridge one?
No, there's one on top bridge, through the teleport, and one bottom where camo spawns.
Oh, okay, so old rockets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of 2001 Damnation. Okay. So yeah, that definitely is something that I'd like to see tested, because you're going to have a lot more different routes, a lot more different control points, and King of the Hill can obviously take a map and turn it on its head, which is really cool to see. When I first played Damnation, I was playing with people who were not pro players, who were not that disciplined. I was just on Twitter and I tweeted out and we played. It was actually really fast paced and it was crazy. The opening rush for rockets, people actually went for rockets instead of just dodging around. So I'd say that game type has almost peaked in terms of speed. So King of the Hill could definitely work.
Cool.
And King of the Hill would actually force players to start setting up for new hills.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be interesting to see, because hills are what, 2 minutes right now for MLG?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be interesting if they messed with the timings a bit. Like, say if it was just 90 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
If that would actually push the gameplay a little bit faster.
Yeah, I think it definitely would, and teams would have more of a chance to get a new hill. Obviously, you can really toy with where those hills are. It could be really, really done really well if the time is put in.
Yeah. So, or are there any other maps that you would want to see?
I definitely want to see Onslaught Flag. Like I was saying, got to review a gameplay this week. I'd like to see Onslaught Flag. The colors aren't too bad. It plays very fast, and it's a very wide open arena style, which I think is good. It's close quarter arena style. I'd like to see Onslaught like maybe put into some online tournaments this summer. Aside from that, I haven't given too much else a thought. One thing, you guys tell me what you think of this that I'd really like to entertain, is like snipers on Countdown or something. Like, I know it might be a little bit cheesy, but Halo 2 had sniper game types. So like, you had Colossus snipers, which wasn't around all that long, but something like Countdown Snipers, I've played it a few times, like Countdown Snipers Pro in the Team Snipers playlist, and that kind of just got me thinking, like, it would be, don't get me wrong, it'd be a huge standoff, because that game can be standoffish at like a 48-48 to begin with. But with snipers, it could work. It also could be terribly slow and could suck. Well, what do you guys think of that?
I mean,
My
only worry about that is from watching Ninja Players 1v1s, I think people would be able to guess the spawns too much, and you would have people just literally taking 8 points at a time. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but, you know,
just something to note.
It's just going to be like any amateur team would just be completely destroyed on that.
What I want to see is the starting spawns, the same ones. Everyone starts across from each other on the flags.
Oh, God.
every time, see what happens. Just people just whipping it.
I'm thinking like a sanctuary start and all four run to bond and get a 4-for-1.
Ooh, what about Halo? I'm so glad you said that, George. What about sanctuary snipes? Halo 2, sanctuary snipers was a game type. TS played very slow. I'm talking because I coached at tournaments still already in Halo 2, and it played like 16, 14. Even Sanctuary TS by itself played very slow, but Sanctuary Sniper, like the bonfire is called the bond because that's where Bonfire from Exit Wounds sat with the sniper on that game type. He would sit there.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's called the bonfire because Bon, who was twin brothers with It Was Luck back in the day, were another set of twins who occasionally plays top 8, top 6. He would just shift, like he'd look to the enemy sniper, shift to the enemy rocks, and just always be in the bon. So that's how that name came about.
Wow.
So promote campy behavior. What about, do you think Zealot would work for snipers?
No.
It would be crazy.
It's fun in playlist, in the Team Snipers playlist. I don't know with MLG settings, I could see it working, but maybe the spawning would be an issue because the spawns are kind of out in the open. I don't know how to solve that,
I think it could definitely be tested. Yeah, definitely could be tested. I'm thinking about how a setup would look like. I feel like teams would just sit on a flag, you know, and have one guy watch bridge, one guy watch street, one guy watch main ramp, because like if you go top mid, you're going to get screwed.
That's true. You definitely would use the cover at in front of the flag. I feel like that would be a major stronghold out across the map.
Yeah. And then having definitely having a guy flanking low. It could be something definitely worth testing. Because, I mean, it hosts everything. I mean, it has free-for-all, people always compared it to midship, but it's just a good arena map.
It plays so differently, yeah.
It's a good arena map that should be tested, I think. Could be tested for snipers. It'd be a stretch, just like Countdown, but it could be done.
I think that should be tested. And other sniper maps you think might work that wouldn't be standoffish? Like Countdown has a lot of rooms you could hide in.
Countdown would be all radios. It'd be just radio and top control. It'd be crazy.
Right.
So definitely would be standoffish. I'm just trying to think of right now other maps that might work. Pit snipe. Pit would obviously be terrible. It'd be even worse than Slayer. Other than that, I can't think offhand of any maps that would really play well besides Sanctuary and Countdown and possibly Zealot.
So it might be that Team Snipers would work in MLG, but you have to have a map designed for it. And Reach might right now just not have the maps for it. But Halo 4 could possibly, with these new competitive maps, you know, Team Snipers might be something for MLG to look at.
Definitely. And you also think, like, I mean, Team Snipers is awesome. It's flashy. You can create great montages, great gameplay, like disgusting multi-kills and no-scopes. Mm-hmm. And players who are not familiar with MLG can take a look at that and be like, wow, that's awesome. I want to play that. And so they can really, that could be a great way for players to start and, you know, respecting and enjoying MLG play, because if it's just 4v4 snipers, everyone plays Team Snipes. So I think that MLG should definitely look into that. And I know, obviously, 343 is considering which maps are going to be good for Team Snipers, because it's a popular playlist. So definitely a good point, George.
There was one thing I wanted to say about, because I was thinking about adding an objective, but have you ever played the game type where it's like slay a flag, where you get points for killing and points for capping the flag?
I think I've played it like once, yeah.
Flag Slayer, yeah.
Would that actually, that kind of thing, work in MLG? So, I mean, you're still wanting to, let's say, cap the flag, but you're still getting points for slaying. You don't have to cap.
Something like that seems like it's more, that would be more geared towards the Slayer side.
How much does how much are cap our flag cap worth?
50 points.
50. 5-0.
And it's the first two 150.
One?
Yes.
And a kill is one. Wow. And there's no other points, correct?
Right,
correct.
Obviously. Okay, so definitely could work, and that's something that I think a lot of MLG players might be skeptical about, or MLG fans, but I was one of the guys in the beginning saying I want to see Headhunter in MLG. Because it's just different, it's cool, it
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Headhunter Powerhouse was the first thing I was like, this should be tested. And of course, back then it wasn't. But I would, to be honest, I would entertain that game type, Flag Slayer, on any map just to give it a shot. I mean, it would create this really weird dynamic. It would, everyone would just go for slaying, but if you get all four dead, why not run the flag kind of thing? So,
well, here's the thing is the spawn, I think, is 3 seconds.
Okay.
So, like, imagine playing Zealot Flag with 3 second respawns. It'd just be
Zealot would be nuts.
Near impossible. Right. Yeah.
And so would Sanctuary. Wonder, Sanctuary would be pretty impossible too.
Exactly. And so I wonder if like it would just be too chaotic possibly to even have the flags being run. Certainly something to be tested. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of Countdown just in my head as this game type was being discussed. So what you would see obviously is a lot of baiting with the flag. So like grab the enemy's flag and toss it out, and they all panic, and you just kill them again, and then keep running it. So the team that really knows how to control the pace of the game would kind of shine there, but I'm glad, really cool that you guys brought that up, because I've never even considered that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Headhunter was one of those game types that kind of fell off at the beginning of Reach 2.
Yeah, tell me about, because, man, I've played it, I play a lot of Rumble Pit, I play a lot of anniversary playlists, and some just non-MLG playlists, if you will, and I get Headhunter from time to time, and it's pretty fun. Like Headhunter multi-team on Sanctuary, just crazy, or Asylum rather, just craziness, awesome multi-kills, Headhuntering. But is it still like favored? Is it get voted for in the non-MLG playlist a lot?
Not really.
And only in multi-team. Like, it's a lot of fun, like you said, when there's one guy with 10 skulls running around, and you blow his head off, and 10 flaming skulls pop out, and everyone rushes to the middle of Pinnacle, and you're like, oh my god, this is like Campy's dream right here, right?
Exactly.
So it's definitely fun. I don't know about using it competitively. I've never even considered that at all.
It's just, one thing I really respect in players is their ability to run the objective. So, like, players that were like really good handling the oddball on midship in Halo 2, or like players who can run flags really fast, like on Sanctuary. I've always wanted to do like a video about who can run the flag the fastest, but I figured someone would just send me a gameplay on 110% speed or 10% more than the setting, and they would just cheat.
Did you see Prototype's video where he's like fastest flag cap in Sanctuary, and the game starts, and I'm expecting some crazy play, and all it is that the flags were switched, so blue team started with the red flag on their spawn and just capped it instantly.
What the heck?
Complete tangent, but yeah, random.
Yeah.
Glitch.
Yep.
But I'd say I really respect objective play, both in MLG and in non-MLG game types. I think it's really cool. It adds like an interesting, like, someone can have a really great shot, but someone can just have really good objective running and really good awareness and know exactly how to run the flag in an unconventional way. So I'd like to see different objective styles. I know that they've talked about different game types in Halo 4. Is there any latest, like, on what other new things we can expect? Besides, I know there's, like, the new medals,
Regicide.
And we've seen...
Regicide.
Which sounds like Juggernaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Except you can actually kill everyone else instead of just the Juggernaut.
Well, you could do that in Reach, and you can customize it.
to where you could get points for doing different things.
Okay, I didn't know that. But it's certainly not in matchmaking, right? It's like you kill the Juggernaut or he kills you. Whereas in Regicide, the Juggernaut, the guy in the lead, has an arrow over his head, but you're killing everyone else along the way. He's just
That'd
the
be
biggest
crazy.
Pot. Yeah, and so right. you're going to see a lot of interesting objective plays as the Juggernaut. Where do you position yourself to put everyone to a choke point so they're killing themselves and you're staying alive just enough to get enough kills? Like, I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah. You could do that with Juggernaut, though, in custom games. So one of the things that's been kind of going through my mind with everything that's being announced so far is that it sounds like they're just renaming some of these game types and updating them to their liking. Like Spartan Ops, for example, is basically kind of like an expanded version of Firefight. Regicide sounds like Juggernaut. So I'm wondering, with some of the terms that have been thrown out there and that we will hear here in the near future, is that they're just 343's tweaks to some of the game types that Bungie has implemented in the Halo franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you don't want to reinvent the wheel completely when you're working on a project as big as Halo, right? So you, typically, for example, look at the campaign and you'll see a lot of the maps are just the same map reversed, right? That's just like a little thing that they do in the industry to still have the scale to do what they need to do, but not overextend themselves. And so I think taking these game types that already exist, they see what works and what doesn't work, and then I think it's just a natural evolution, right? I was listening to the Halo Council podcast 16 talking about the evolution of gaming, and you don't want people to go back to like Halo 2, right? I mean, some people want just a complete HD remake of a game from 2004. Most people are like, no, I want a new game. I want fresh content. I want something to keep me intrigued and coming back for more. And I think these game types like Regicide, you mentioned, or Spartan Ops, something totally like revamped and recreated, but still has the feel and the nostalgia that maybe people can associate with it. I think that's more powerful than just coming up with something completely, you know, reinvented.
Yeah.
So
to an extent, like, you don't want everything rehashed, obviously, but I'm sure there's tons of content in the game that we still aren't aware about at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's just, and it's, as people have been saying, you got to wonder how all the pieces are going to fit together. Obviously, you can't just analyze one aspect, or even if it's campaign-based, you have to see it all in the full picture.
Yeah, and even if they tell us about some kind of feature in the game, we won't necessarily know how the feature reacts until we actually get our hands on it.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's fun to speculate, and to be honest, to make a super nerdy reference, it's kind of like when Harry Potter 7 was coming out, everyone's like, this is going to happen! No. I actually, no joke, I was at MLG Dallas 2007, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Harry Potter 7 was coming out in 2007. And my, yeah, 2007.
I think,
and,
wasn't it later than that?
That's way too late.
Yeah, that's because
2008 then.
Part 2 just came out last year.
No, I mean the book.
The book.
Oh, the book. Okay. Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, so the book was coming out, and I was actually reading this book called What Will Happen in Harry Potter 7, which provided this incredible analysis of every character, and then I read the book. I almost died getting the book during MLG, getting a ride home from a complete stranger. Definitely a story for another time. That's no joke. So it's really exciting when we have the game in our hands and we can see how everything feels together.
Definitely. And 343 has been doing a good job actually giving us some information and having it just trickle out slowly over the past 2 weeks. You know, we've gotten a lot of information about multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for sure.
Definitely want to dig into that a little bit. Starting off with some of the stuff that we've seen from Game Informer. They haven't released any more news about maps, so. But we do know that Warhouse and Wraparound are not the final names.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Also, the heavy weapons are actually ordnance, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I was looking at some of the screens that they had of the Halo multiplayer in the background when they were doing the videos, and I was trying to figure out what those little icons were, and they're actually ordnance for rockets, snipes, and what other heavy weapons that they're going to have in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So from between what they said on the podcast and what they've said in the videos, it sounds like in terms of loadout, you're going to get your base weapons like your Magnum or pistol, DMR, BR, SMG if it's in there.
Assault, carbine, quote unquote.
Right. So that kind of those kind of weapons you're going to be able to use in your loadouts whenever you unlock these loadouts, which they haven't given us too much information on that yet. And then your ordnance or the weapon drops are going to be these heavy weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say it's awesome that we're finally able to customize which starting weapon we want to use, because you know that this is like the main issue with voting is, do we want DMR starts or AR starts? And a lot of casual kids want their ARs, a lot of more competitive types want their DMR, their BR, and now you can just choose, like on every, I don't know if it's going to be in every single playlist, but I think that's awesome. I never have to start with an AR again if I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be very pleasant.
So the question here is, how does this apply to MLG? I know, or from what it sounds like, what they've said so far, is that you're going to be able to unlock these loadouts as you rank up. Yeah. So I don't know if there's going to be, if you're going to be able to start out with an initial loadout, like you get one that you can customize and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everyone is hesitant about comparing it to Call of Duty, but you don't even get a custom loadout until you reach rank 10, right?
Custom, I thought.
Something like 5 or 10. Something like that.
How dare you ask a COD question in a Halo podcast? Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's inevitable, right?
I think clan tag is 4.
Everyone else has been comparing Halo 4 to COD, so
it's 5.
I don't feel that bad about it. It's a comparison. I'm not saying that COD is better than Halo. It's just a comparison.
I'm busting your balls. I know. I understand. And like for me, honestly, if people want to compare it to COD, that's totally cool. Like they're saying, oh, Spartan Ops is similar to Spec Ops. That's okay. I loved Spec Ops when I played it back in the day. Like I think it's a really cool feature, and I wanted to see it in Halo Reach, but I didn't get to. So if they're taking features that are sweet and awesome, like I'm all for that, 100%.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, Spec Ops could be really, because first of all, when Firefight first came out, I thought it was really cool because it was just another thing to do whenever you feel like playing Halo and you just want to get on and shoot stuff. So I thought it was really cool at first. I played it a lot at first, but slowly trickled down.
And then people were saying, it's just like Gears Horde Mode. Well, it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's Halo's version of Horde Mode.
Yeah, it's a one player or multiplayer wave system that's been around for years, you know? So I think, and Spec Ops was awesome. I remember sitting just as far as, you know, Call of Duty aside, it's an awesome game mode that I remember sitting with my roommate in college who did not play a lot of video games. I can sit down with him and we can play on, you know, together on a map and just play against enemies. And it's really fun and it brings new people to the game. So like George was saying, if they're going to bring that kind of style to Halo, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. These specific objectives, I think it'd be really cool because it's not campaign. It's not multiplayer. So it'd be cool.
And just as a more general point, like just because one person does it does not mean that other people shouldn't, you know, look at those ideas and build upon them. Like even the Halo story itself was, you know, parts taken from the sci-fi universe and put into this whole new enriching story. You can frame it as, oh, he stole the Ringworld idea from so-and-so. But in the sci-fi community, people don't see it that way. They see it as sharing, right? Sharing ideas, sharing innovation, and building upon each other to make an even more amazing universe than the prior one. So that's the way I look at the evolution of gaming. I don't see it as stealing from other people, although it can look like that. I think just like Andy was saying, like if it's a cool feature, it's something else to do, then we should definitely consider it for the next Halo game.
Yeah.
And if it fits within the universe, then it's not a bad addition to the game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just a little bit surprised that they use the word ops, to be honest.
Same.
It's a military term. We're looking at two military. One's a futuristic shooter and one's a military shooter. We're looking at military terms, so I can't blame them too much for that.
Right. And it sounds like these are more like operations than they are firefight. So.
Right.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Not the most original name, but at least the concepts are innovative, right? Like, it's weekly content with 5 missions per week that builds its own campaign story with your Spartan 4 that you use for multiplayer, which is totally different from Spec Ops and COD, right?
Yeah. So,
I agree.
I'm wondering how they're...
But whatever.
I'm wondering how they're going to be able to pump that much content out. Like, are they going to have...
It's all going to be done probably before... I mean, they haven't announced this, is my guess, but it's only going to be on a few months cycle. So it's just like as if they'd built 2 campaigns instead of 1, and the second one, they're just releasing weekly instead of on release. That's my guess.
All right.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I was sad it didn't go on forever. They're like, yeah, and it'll repeat, you know, after like 10 weeks. I'm like, oh, man. Like, oh, well.
Yeah. Well, it's something new, so hopefully it's something that we will all enjoy.
For sure.
So let's get back to the whole loadouts thing. Assuming that we're going to be able to have a loadout straight out of the box, no rank whatsoever, how do you think that's going to affect play with MLG, especially now since you have BR and DMR being able to be configured into your loadout?
I think it's going to be pretty... I have no idea how those two are going to play with each other. It'd be very interesting to see the screens we've seen of the BR. For example, the Conan BR was... it was interesting. First of all, like people said, I think he was missing a little bit. And second of all...
pretty bad shot.
Yeah, the hit scan.
Yeah.
The hit scan looked very good. The way the bursts were hitting, if you remember, like it looked like reminiscent of the way Halo 2 hit scan bullets were hitting. So like, if you shot into like pink 2 in midship from a window, you could get 2 kills with one burst, like that kind of feel and look, which is really cool to see that bullets are hitting the way that we want them to. It looked like a different game. Like if you showed me that out of context and you drop the heads up display, I would be like, what game is that? Is that a Halo game? Which isn't bad. They've said that they're, you know, that the core of Halo will be there. You can tell it's Halo. And I don't doubt it. Everything that has come out of Frankie's mouth or been posted on the forums by him or David has been kind of reassuring. And they know exactly who is watching and they're kind of, they're really on top of things more so than I've ever seen any developer ever, I think. So that's really, really cool. You look at Call of Duty developers, that there's no communication like that. So everything that 343 is doing is really impressive. And getting back to DMR, BR, looking at those Game Informer screens, I think they came out. Scott from 343 just tweeted them today, but I think they came out Wednesday. I can't remember exactly when, but the extra screens that were finally published digitally in the digital magazine, when you look at the DMR versus the BR, the DMR looks very different just by the way it looks. I know this is complete speculation, but it looks like it'll be they did talk about recoil in which one. Was it DMR or BR?
BR,
right?
BR.
Okay. So DMR just looks like it looks like a single shot weapon. It looks like a heavy weapon. And I think it might play a little bit better and shots will obviously connect better with hit scan. So it's gonna be cool to see a DMR with hit scan. And BR with recoil, I don't know how it's gonna play out. Look at a game like Counter-Strike, very successful competitive game, tons of recoil depending on the map depending on the weapon. And talking to Counter-Strike pros, you have to know the exact recoil of every gun that you can pick up and know exactly how to shoot it. So that's a skill in itself.
I'd like to add on that they did mention that the BR would win battles over the DMR at close range and that the DMR would beat the BR at long range. So I'm guessing if the BR has a 2x scope and the DMR has a 3x scope, but the BR kills in 4 shots and the DMR kills in 5 shots, that it's going to be a very unique experience for the pros, like starting off, what do I use? When do I use this? You know, and understanding the fine tuning of that, I think, will make some players rise to the top and others just won't.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. Last season, we saw players using the needle rifle. For example, Hysteria was using it for a while. SK used it for a little while. Hysteria became very good with it. And after No Bloom, no one used it. So that's really interesting that a few players were using it. When Hysteria had a beard, we called it the needle rifle grizz on his face because you could see the needle rifle in the fine pieces of his beard. But I'd say that for taking the example of DMR, DMR needle rifle, the DMR was deemed better for overall playing, and that's why 98% of MLG pros used it. And I feel like in Halo 4, we might have less of that. You know, people will be really hesitant as to which they're going to use in different battles. So could be,
for sure.
It'll definitely be interesting, as George was saying, to see how that plays out.
I have kind of a bigger question that I don't know if this is like the elephant in the room for some people, but MLG like seems to be dropping Halo off a little bit. And so I don't know how to say this, but could you see a future without MLG but still have a competitive Halo scene? And like I'm saying this hoping that Halo will continue in MLG, but if the possibility is true that Halo won't be in MLG anymore, or let's say they don't want to give Halo 4 a chance off the start, or let's say they drop Reach for the rest of their seasons, is there going to be is THC trying to build up a new competitive community, or I don't know. It's kind of a vague question, but maybe you can touch on that.
Oh, sure. It's something that I've obviously been thinking about for a while, just as Reach has tapered off in popularity overall, and as a result, that has also tapered off in terms of the competitive community. So a lot of the players either just not playing the game anymore or switching over to a new game, a lot of them playing Call of Duty now. When I was at PAX, Dustin can probably attest to this too a little bit, I was asking people, because I was at the booth, I was just saying, oh, you know, do you play Halo? Check out my YouTube channel. I make videos and I'm on Machinima. And a lot of them were like, no, I don't play Halo anymore. And when I say a lot, I mean like 70% were like, I used to play. So that has kind of been the overall scheme. And obviously Columbus was a great event. We had great numbers, but if it is dropped, I have total faith that the competitive community will continue this grassroots effort, and I don't care if it takes how long it takes to get it back up. I mean, there will be tournaments. We're talking with a bunch of organizations that have not only established companies but established locations to have events. There are a lot of people who are investing in pro gaming that want to kind of jump on. If MLG were to drop it, you know, there's plenty of people who will say, okay, I can have tournaments, make money, and the players can make money. There's no doubt that there's a potential for revenue for all sides. So first of all, that's one thing I'm not worried about. We might not be on the scale of MLG events, you know, and this great big convention center. We might be confined to a ballroom or, different people's houses like we've had in the past with these small private events. But I obviously hope MLG keeps Halo. They're obvious. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine them not testing Halo 4 and really giving it a shot. But I would not worried either way. As they say, as D-Max said on Halo Council, I'll ride or die Halo because that's the game I play. It went through my head, like, do I have to start making Call of Duty videos to stay in competitive, you know, first-person shooter? And it went through my head and immediately went out because there's no way I'm going to do that. I play Halo. So also definitely one thing that is worthy of noting is that last night on the Halo Council, Fwids, who's head of live programming at Machinima, he promised that if certain things are in Halo 4, that right away he's going to give Halo 4 kickoff tournaments and Frag Cup equivalents, for those of you guys who don't know, just pretty much big tournaments that are, you know, broadcasted online through Machinima with its network of some 17 million overall subscribers. So Machinima will be supporting Halo 4 because it will be, you know, obviously a huge game. Everyone's going to want to play it. So whether or not MLG picks up Halo and Halo 4, I have faith that the competitive community will rise. There'll be a grassroots effort, and people will be paying attention. And that also goes back to how well the game plays out of the box for competitive settings. I hope that by, you know, 2 years into Halo 4, that we have, you know, maybe 500,000 people who weren't watching that are now, or at least have heard of competitive play. It'd be really cool.
Awesome. I think it's a very optimistic and realistic answer. So thanks for covering that, man.
Yeah, you bet.
He was hoping that you would do that. All right. So let's see. I'm trying to think through here what else is kind of big.
You want to touch on Infinity?
We can talk about it. It's not strictly or directly linked with competitive.
Well, I just remember when it came out. I was on Twitter when the leak came out, and everyone was just going like, everyone said like, that's gonna just kill MLG. So just touch on it quickly.
Infinity?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing that the Halo 4 is a virtual training ground?
Yeah, I think people didn't realize at the time that that was just gonna be a separate section, not the complete matchmaking thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't really change the effects of multiplayer from a standpoint of like Slayer and CTF and competitive gaming, so I don't see what the big issue is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the idea obviously when I saw the menus in Halo 4 that Infinity was this multiplayer experience and campaign is this campaign experience is limited to obviously the story of the game. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. So
and they're disconnected, so like your armor doesn't carry over into Master Chief like it did in Reach, for example.
It's okay. Like Halo 3.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't play much campaign in Reach, unfortunately. Just dove into multiplayer and never looked back. All the other Halo campaigns, though, were phenomenal.
I don't really see if there's a big issue, why there would be a big issue about... Because that's always how Halo's been. The campaign and the multiplayer have been separate.
Yeah.
It was only in Reach when we saw a connection between the two with the armor appearance appearing across platform, and then we're seeing multiplayer maps from campaign in the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I don't think there's much of an issue.
Yeah. Me neither.
I mean, it is what it is.
Well, when they mentioned campaign co-op for Reach, I was wondering how that was going to pan out. I thought they were going to have, like, speedrunning tournaments or something, like, see who can get through tip of the spear the fastest, and then you get, like, mega credits if you win. But it just turned out to be co-op campaign with, like, other people online. I was like, okay, I guess it's a cool feature, but I definitely expected more out of that. But no worries.
One of the other things was the random weapon drops, and that how Halo power or the power weapons in Halo 4 are not going to be random in terms of time, but they're going to be random in terms of which weapon will drop. Now, I'm pretty sure this is going to be customizable in custom games, and you can choose whether or not you want different weapons to spawn at different times. Do you guys think that MLG might experiment with having different power weapons drop at these power weapon locations, or do you think they're going to stick with having one power weapon at a certain location in the map?
George, you want to go first? I've been going first a lot.
Sure. Well, first thing is that they specified it's not going to be random times, but have they made it clear that the location will always be the same? For example, let's say you have...
Yeah, the location's the same.
Okay, so let's say... I want to use like a current map as an example. Let's say like the pit, right? Let's say that there's an ordnance drop on a green, and you're saying, are they always going to make it rockets, or is it sometimes going to be like a sniper or some other really cool power weapon in Halo 4 that we don't even know about, right?
Right.
I mean, I can't predict what they'll do. I imagine that the testers, as all good testers do, will test out both experiences and see what works best. Obviously, you want to change your positioning around the map to control these power weapons. Whether it's a sniper or a rocket launcher is going to be really important to give your team that edge. You don't just want to give it to the other team. So I see fights happening over the power weapons no matter what. I don't know the effect of, like, if it'll be randomized or not. I don't know, Bravo, what do you think?
So let me get this straight. When the announcement first went out, I just pictured these magical gifts falling from the sky all over the map. And, like, you know, I just killed someone for the fifth time, but they spawn and rockets and sniper falls in their hands. But obviously it's not that. And as I talked to several people, including BS Angel at PAX, you know, they said all of the Game Informer leaks, almost all of it was taken out of context. So that's one of the examples. But one thing I would say about the weapons is, just so I'm on the same page as well, so the timing is not random, but are there a set number, i.e. three places that it could drop, or is just the weapon random?
That's a good point. I don't think they specified that.
Because what I think right now, here's what I'm envisioning, and I might have read it or just heard someone else envisioning this as well. Picture on a map, you have, we'll use a zealot, for example. So say there are 3 points, maybe top gold, holograms, and then top middle are these optional spots where it might drop. Mm-hmm. So what that creates is almost this territories-esque scenario. Like, you have to be on all 3 points and control. You have to, you know, maybe hope for two, like, control 2 out of 3, or find this really great setup that allows you to watch all 3 of them, bait one or something, or if you hold the holograms and gold, you can pinch the center if it spawns there. So that could create a very, very good experience for casual and competitive play. So I really hope MLG tests that out.
Jack, did you have anything to say about that? I don't want to keep going on.
Oh, I wasn't even here. I got kicked out for updates. So
we're talking about weapon drops and how they would kind of affect Halo 4 gameplay for MLG, and that they've confirmed basically that it's just the weapon in particular that's random, not the timing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the point. I think everyone was worried that it was just going to be like random places on the map, but I think it's just going to be everyone's going to know where the weapon's going to drop, what time it's going to drop. It's just going to be, you don't know what weapon's going to be, but it's going to be a power weapon. It's going to be something like a sniper, a rocket launcher, or another playlist. You never know, like a laser designator. I mean, we never saw that in the actual multiplayer. I would love to see the laser designator in the multiplayer.
It's a good call. I'm hoping
it'd be like the nuke in Call of Duty. There's a Call of Duty reference again.
Oh, dear.
I'm kind of hoping that the locations will not be randomized, and here's my thinking on that is, let's say on Pit as my example, there's 4 different drops across the map. I'm hoping that they're in the middle so that it's fair for both teams, for example, to have access to those. But let's say that like there's one on your side in particular, or on the other side, or let's say like even one team is sort of holding down sword area and the other one's holding down long haul, waiting for that last drop, and it's like a 48-48 game, right? I'm really hoping that right off the start, you can predict exactly where each weapon drop will be. Like, let's say the first drop is at long haul, the second drop is at green, the third drop's at training, or banana, and the fourth drop is like in sword room. Like, I think that would be awesome because that changes the power dynamic of the map when you're setting up these different positions, but I would hate for it to be randomized so that you don't know at any point where the weapon's going to drop, and that like completely nullifies the point of setups and setting up for a power weapon, right? Like, it's just chance and luck that this team over here on long haul might get a rocket, or you know, a rocket launcher, and then just like take out the other team easily because of the random chance of it all. And over the course of millions and millions of games that are going to be played on this experience, you know that like some teams are just going to get really, really lucky and other teams are going to get shafted, and that's going to, I think, cause a lot of complaining if it is truly randomized location.
Okay, I mean, I mean, it's like a really weird idea, but let's say imagine, so your areas of like long haul, green, banana, and sword, like they're named A, B, C, D. Let's say like 30 seconds before the drop, you got the announcer who goes A, B, C, or D. So it's not like predicted A, B, C, or D, but the announcer goes A or B, like the area it's going to be dropped in, so like area one.
Or kind of like reinforcements?
So reinforcements, but reinforcements at, so you know where it's going to be dropped. So then you can set up, you've got 30 seconds to set up.
Well, yeah, like
they said, you'll have like plenty of time in advance, like, because the drop-ins can kill you if you stand under them. So I don't know how much time you have, but 10 seconds is not enough to set up against a good team on the pit, right?
Or 30 seconds. But 30 seconds could be enough.
30 seconds I would agree with, right. I mean, like Andy was saying earlier, we don't know, right? We need to see this mechanic in work with the rest of the game.
But it'd be like when you're doing Invasion Slayer, how you have the weapon drops. You have the 15-second warning before they drop after you capture a section.
Well, yeah,
it'd be something like that.
Was moving to. I think what he's saying is that you need to know where the area, the drop's going to be at least 30 seconds before, so you can hold that area down.
Right.
And then as soon as that 30 seconds hit, it drops. So if you're standing there, then you die. I mean, that's your own fault.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so you just basically, isn't it, doesn't just drop, like, if you're talking about on top of sword, on top of snipe. And one team's holding down snipe, the other team's the other snipe. It's a bit unfair.
Right, because they don't have that knowledge. But what's really cool is that you will know if someone has picked it up or not, because there's going to be an arrow pointing to the weapon if it's still in the casing. I think that's awesome for both casual and competitive players. Like, you know that if you go into green, they already have the rockets. Like, that's such a, I don't know, I think it's a really cool feature.
Yeah, you can back up and it's like, oh, shoot, they got it, so run away.
Yeah, it could be good and bad, because like the amount of information you have might reduce, for example, Overshield having a color. This is that's almost like a parallel. So in competitive Halo, I don't really like that the Overshield has a color or a glow. Like Halo 1 Overshield is like super powerful, because you go into a room. First of all, you can have camo and Overshield. Second of all, you go into a room and you don't know if this guy has Overshield and you challenge him, you know? And then another player challenges him. And unless that player hits him with 3 shots and with a pistol in Halo 1, you're like, okay, he has Overshield. Or you see a nade blow up and your next 2 shots don't kill him, like, you can really quickly recognize and tell your teammates not to challenge that guy. So I'd say that the weapon, it'd be really cool if we could turn that on and off, you know? Like the weapon, that's like a really, really fine detail that I don't think they might take the time to spend on that. But if you could turn that on and off, it'd be really cool. Definitely.
Well, you could do that in MLG how it is now. They just decided to have the color on.
Sure.
Setting.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was referring specifically to changing
the weapon indicators.
Yeah,
okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I mean,
it would be nice if. I'm assuming there's a lot of this stuff that's going to be customizable.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And mostly with weapon drops. And what about loadout drops as well?
Loadout drops.
So let's say making like a jetpack drop down instead of a weapon. I mean, I know. Doubts saying like you're going to be able to customize them and stack them all like in your area, but I mean, what if that's a loadout drop?
Whenever I think of these drops, I picture someone on like penance, like jumping off the bridge and then a jetpack just randomly falls and they fly away.
Well, I mean, if you ever played Firefight, you'd see them fall down from the sky. They're
I hate to say it, but I'm just against all armor in period. Just because of what I've seen with armor lock, like if I have to deal with armor lock one more time for the rest of my life. Lock. Oh, I know. I did read that post, so that was good.
You're thank God.
Overall, jetpack's really cool. Sprint worked for some things, but overall, armor abilities have put a bad taste in my mouth. and also on my maps. But But that's not to say that 343 can't do an awesome job with armor abilities. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're spending time on balancing them much better.
It's an example of how... Oh, sorry. Go on, Jack.
I'm not Jack.
Oh, I thought it was Jack talking. You sounded British for a second.
That's freaky. Well, sorry, what Andy was saying basically leads into the last topic I wanted to cover before everyone has to leave, is now we have Sprint is a permanent armor ability, and you can also choose an armor ability in your loadout. So now that Sprint's in there as full-time, are people going to be more accepted of it? Because I know MLG took it out because of gameplay issues. So what are you guys' thoughts on having Sprint in there and then an additional loadout?
I think the reason people didn't like Sprint was just because you could just run away, right? It's like, oh, I put myself in a bad position. I'm getting shot. I'm just going to turn around and hightail it out of here. So
you can do the same thing, right?
No, they announced that it's going to play differently. It's going to be more Gears of War style, where when you start getting shot, you can't just sprint away. So it's actually going to slow down those key moments when you're in a battle and make you fight the good fight instead of just hightailing it out of there.
Right, and it could. So ideally, in a perfect world, what we'd see is faster gameplay, no running away. And I think everyone would be pumped about that. You know, I don't mean Quake fast, but just overall fast Halo and no running away. So it'd be so annoying to get... That'd be annoying, though, you know? Like, you're just in a situation and you're just getting slowed down. But, I mean, as long as it doesn't slow you down at all normally, right? Like, if I'm just walking normal speed, I can turn around just as fast, right?
Right, I think so. But it's kind of like evade and reach, right? Like, when you start getting shot, you can't just evade away. And that's, you know, evade is so overpowered that they really need that. I mean, it's overpowered even with that feature. So maybe Sprint will still be overpowered in Halo 4 at a competitive level. We don't know yet. We can only speculate.
As long as we can turn it off, if necessary.
I hope you can turn it off. They have everyone's interest in mind, and you can just customize everything, right?
When I first saw Sprint on the first look, I'm not going to lie, I was like disappointed. And the way it looked, it's animation intensive, if you will. His gun, like on the heads-up display, his gun moves a lot. Like he goes into a full sprint and then the gun returns back, which makes me think that it might take a while to sprint unsprint. But I'm going to stay optimistic about Sprint. I did not like it in Halo Reach. It can be fun for social type things, but overall, like the idea of sprinting to a place, stop sprint, start fight, it's weird. So, if 343 is going to keep it in, and that's what we have to do, I think dropping sprint, if the entire world of Halo, with the exception of MLG, if MLG goes no sprint, everyone else is sprint, it will be really bad. So I think we got to adapt to that. If that's what 343 is doing for us, we got to do it.
And they're definitely playtesting it, so they're taking into account how sprint is reacting to these maps that we haven't seen yet.
But then again, they playtested armor lock, so. Don't know how that passed.
True. Although this is 343, not Bungie. Yeah.
True. Good point. Bungie was on its way out. They're like, screw this, I'm gonna do what I want.
Yeah.
Armor lock could have been better if it was more thought out.
Yeah.
I say better. I don't say great. I say better.
Some woman laughs.
Obviously, we see
that was perfectly timed, wasn't it?
I mean, all these loadouts are returning. I mean, what do you think? What are your predictions for Forerunner Vision?
They already talked about that a little bit.
I still know nothing, honestly.
It's very narrow band, so your field of view with it is weak, and it's actually like a pull. So it's part. Think of it as like radar for infrared, and it basically pings. So you're gonna get these little glitches of where people are, and if they're moving, you'll see it at one spot, and then you'll see it at another spot, and it's a very narrow field of view.
And it is based on distance, so you have to be somewhat close in order to actually see someone.
I think I actually read that you will not be able to see through all walls and or multiple walls. So for some reason, okay, here's the why I thought before we have to wrap up. Here's why I thought a Forerunner vision on the map construct. Because in Halo 3, at a LAN in Chicago, Walshy swore, some of you guys might have heard the story, that the team he was playing against was glass walling. Like, they had a glitch, Counter-Strike style, where you can look in a corner and then see through the map, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like, just see actually through the map. So, for some reason, I picture the Shadowrun-esque seeing through floors and stuff, but it could definitely fit into a bit of Halo, because it's like, if it's the limited scope, like you say, it can fit in.
Yeah.
Or if it's like a drop that's like super powerful and people fight over it, it'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So they've definitely said that they're trying to play test it and that everything balances out with something else.
I mean, to put up what I thought it was is you guys played Gears of War. You know when you like press the back button, you can see where all the weapons are on the map. That's what I envisioned actually for an vision would be. You could see where all the weapons were on the map and where your teammates were.
Yeah.
Not what the other team was, but I thought that's what it would be. But
you're talking like Atlas?
No. If you play Gears of War 3, that you I can't remember what button you press, but I think it's the back button.
Yeah, I think so.
You can see the whole map, basically.
Yeah.
From your vision, but I guess not.
Well, we wanted to get to some other topics tonight, but we didn't have a chance, so we'll get to them on the next show that we do, MLG.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, definitely. I was thinking it'd be really cool as more details come about in these next few weeks, because I know I heard Game Informer has a lot more multiplayer details on the way. So I think maybe in a few weeks we can all get back together and have another long show just talking about all the new developments. It'd be really cool. Yeah,
we will, and we will definitely look forward to having you back on.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. And, but it's cool to hear some new perspectives, because in the competitive community we kind of have this one thing that everyone wants, you know. So it's really cool to discuss some of these new fun ideas like Flag Slayer and stuff like that.
That's why you helped disseminate the podcast. All right, so Bravo, why don't you tell everyone what your YouTube is and where they can find you?
Sure. So my Twitter and my YouTube are both /BravoMLG. You can find me. I upload videos multiple times per week, map reviews, commentaries, vlogs, and all that fun stuff. So I hope you guys subscribe. Also on my Twitter, you can find me at BravoMLG.
All right. So George, why don't you tell us where people can find you?
I'm on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at /NakedHalo, NAK3DHALO. And I do commentary, gameplay, challenge tutorials, HLG I've just started up. I've got a new Road to MLG series, possibly with Best Man, that I'm really excited for. A couple jumping videos coming out. So just a variety, high-level gaming channel. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. And Jack, where can people find you?
I don't think I should really say the YouTube account, but you can find me at Jackfire, JAKFIRE, on my Twitter. You can tweet me there. I don't have many followers, but, you know, if you want to ask me some questions, I'm there. But you can just go through Dust if you want. anything that Dust hears about, I didn't hear about, so. I'm like this.
I prefer to use a different term, but.
What term would that
be? Yeah, I'm curious. What term is this for your slave?
My secretary.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Appointment, Mr. Dashstorm.
Whoa, that's sexist. And all secretaries are females. That is not the case.
No, they do a better job. They do a better job.
Oh man, I'm done.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you are hearing this on channels other than Podtacular, welcome to the fold. We have a couple other MLG shows that we've had in the past. If you go to our site, podtacular.com, and search for MLG, you can find some of those. We usually do one of these about every month, every 5 weeks, kind of whenever something big happens that relates to MLG. So be sure to keep us on your radar in the future, and we will look forward to having Andy back on the show in the future. He had to drop out. He's kind of on a time crunch, so. As are the rest of we. So we're going to sign off. So until next time, keep on fracking trucks. Bravo, why don't you tell everyone what your YouTube is and where they can find you?
Sure. So my Twitter and my YouTube are both /BravoMLG. You can find me. I upload videos multiple times per week, map reviews, commentaries, vlogs, and all that fun stuff. So I hope you guys subscribe. Also, on my Twitter, you can find me at BravoMLG.
Just wanted to say I felt like your PR guy at the Gunner's booth in at PAX when I was handing out your little pieces of paper. Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
He's gone. He's like, all right, I did my own. Out of here.
Edit.
I think so. Doesn't say he's been dropped yet, so I think I might have been it.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. He's loading now.
Oh, perfect timing.
See if
you
see
just
if
feel
he connects.
Completely ignored.
I'll edit that out. I will edit that out.
Oh,
if he doesn't come back.
Andy.
If he comes back on.
He did say he had to go.
No, he
didn't. It's 3:40, and it is 3:42, so...
No, exactly. I know. We'll see if he gets back on. Yeah, I'm definitely editing out that awkward moment.
Leave an awkward silence.
No.
La.
Professional, productive podcast is what we're looking for. Which, this show was... Oh my gosh, this show was beautiful. This was rolling, like... I'm trying to come up with a good analogy. It's not coming to me. And I don't know. I'm blanking right now.
Oh, I'm texting. Sorry, bro.
Hey.
He's back. Hey.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, I just wanted to appropriately sign off. As you were telling me about your awesome PR work, my computer just blue screened.
I know this
is the worst timing I've ever had in my life, but I just wanted to, I've got to run out the door, but I just wanted to say thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, I will keep in touch with you on Twitter, and we'll see about getting you on the next time, which will be
awesome.
Probably about a month, 6 weeks out.
Cool, man. I'll be listening to all the episodes in between.
All right. Thanks again, bro.
All right. You bet. Take care, guys.
You
take
too.
Easy.
Bye. Is that even more awkward or what?
You should put that in as like the addendum.
I probably will. I probably will just stick it in at the end somewhere. Oh, that's funny.
Nah, wasn't that awkward. All right, now I'm really leaving.
Awkward. There we go.
I might listen for 10 more minutes. Don't worry. So watch what you say.
Oh.
All right.
All right. See you, Andy.
Oh, God.
He's still on here.
It did take a while last time to drop out, but I think if he's ended the call, it should end straight away.
It usually does.